Right, show number 247. This is Major Nelson Radio. I'm Major Nelson, Larry Herb, with and E.
I'm not Major Nelson. I'm E.
You're E. So this is a different kind of show this week. I say that every week, but this really is.
This one is truly different.
Is it?
Well, Stewie's here.
Stewie's here. We'll talk about Stewie in a moment. We have I moved offices. You moved offices too. Yep. We talked about this last week.
You moved much farther than I did.
Yeah, I moved to like the next building over, and I'm in the weirdest office ever.
It's good and bad. So you've got great windows.
I've got three huge windows in front of me.
Yeah, and you're on the ground floor, great view.
Yep.
So, and but then there's the shape of the office.
It's kind of like a pie shape.
It's more like a Pac-Man.
Oh, yeah, I can kind of
see. It's kind of got the waka-waka.
I got this weird office, and I don't know, maybe I should put pictures of it up. I haven't decided. But so we moved offices, so this is the first time we're recording it in this new office, which I think is a little bit quieter than the old office in terms of airflow.
Yeah. Get Video Monkey in here. Do one of the dioramas.
Oh, do the 360s that we do, the panoramas that we do?
Yeah, then people can see it.
Can people really understand the weirdness that is this back area that I haven't quite figured out yet. But when we moved us into this new office, you know, I came over and took a look at it before we moved in because I kind of knew what office I was in. But I've got the trifecta, and the trifecta is I'm next to the copy room, the kitchen, and a conference room. So it's like Grand Central Station out here, isn't it?
Okay. Don't make me laugh. I still have this stupid cough. But, yeah, it's a little loud out there. It kind of comes through the window.
Is it?
A little bit. I can hear it where I'm sitting.
Well, so future show listeners, I'm warning you, you're probably going to hear me put the microphone down and yell, "Shut up!" a few times.
Woot.
So, all right. So, E, we're back. We're doing our thing. We got good games coming out this week. Orange Box came out this week.
Orange Box is out, yes. And people are playing it.
I want to go up on Metacritic because apparently it's. I was looking at it last night on Metacritic.
It was very high. Not that many reviews yet, though.
Yeah, I know. I was talking to... let's go take a look and see where it is today. It was the highest ranked game, Xbox 360 game.
But it only had like 8 reviews or something.
Yeah, don't go to Metacritic.
Yeah, because Halo 3 kind of had the same thing. Started out really high.
Right.
And then started coming down over time as some of the more, I don't want to say fringe reviews, but as more reviews.
As more reviews came in. It's just a law of numbers.
Yeah.
So we're going to look at Xbox 360. We're going to sort by score
it's
order.
It's right there. It was
Orange Box. Still 98. Let's see how many reviews it has. It has 12 reviews.
Good for them.
Based on 88 votes. Okay. So it's... The Orange Box, BioShock is at number 2, 90 rating of a 96. Halo 3 is 94. Gears of War, Elder Scrolls. So, I mean, all great titles.
Look at it this way. How lucky are we as a platform to have the top 3 games all have come out within, 2 months of each other?
Yeah, that's true.
Orange Box, BioShock, and Halo 3, bang, bang, bang.
Yeah. I'm playing Orange Box. I've been playing... I started a little bit of the first one. Was it last night?
The first one, meaning Half-Life 2?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think I did. I started playing that last night, and I played Half-Life. I just wanted to, you know, do them sequentially.
Right.
So I started going through Half-Life 2, and I'm going through that. I did actually start by playing Portal.
Everyone is raving about Portal.
You haven't played it yet?
I have not.
You're going to try to play it this weekend?
I was going to play it last night, but honestly, this trying to kick the last of the stupid cold I had 2 weeks ago,
right.
I went home and went to sleep.
So the Portal is... If you haven't seen the video, you know, I can't even verbally describe it because you have to go up to Xbox.com and take a look at the videos. The video really explains the fact. Basically, you have a gun, a weapon, a portal maker, whatever you want to call it, and you point it at a surface. Basically, you're showing entry point and exit point. So you walk into one hole, and then you show where you come out.
So, and it sounds cool. I need to play it, but everyone I've talked to who's played it is like, yeah.
So it's really crazy because I was doing a puzzle last night where you actually had to fall through the ceiling, and then as you're falling to the floor, you had to shoot another entry point so that you'd pick up velocity.
Oh, and then you do a repeat.
Yeah,
loop, loop, loop,
it was crazy, and then I don't know what happened. So
okay.
It was,
don't spoil it.
No, it was so Portal great is now that's not out for the PS3 yet, is it?
It is not out yet.
Well, based
it's
on what
coming
they're
out shortly.
Based on what the Valve guys were saying about the PS3 this week, what happened there?
Well, they're not doing the PS3 port.
Oh, that's right. They're not.
It's published by EA, and EA hired somebody, I don't remember who, to do it. So, but they said it's coming out still this year, but it'll come out when it comes out.
Well, if you pick up, it's also available on Steam.
Yes.
For PC owners who don't have a console, it's available on Steam. So I highly recommend it. It's got, and then of course Team Fortress 2. We haven't played any. We need to play some multiplayer.
Yeah.
You and I.
The challenge is going to be just finding time. Because Halo 3, I mean, with being at the offsite and work and everything else, I haven't played much this week. But
let's talk about that.
Halo 3 is sucking up my time.
Let's talk about the offsite. So we talked about it on the show last week, and I made a post about it. You and I went to a we were one of, like, how many people were there? 60, 70?
Yeah, about that.
So you and I were there amongst with the – Hey! Can you hear this noise?
They're
unbelievable.
I can open the door and go, hey, we're recording in here.
I'll go yell at them later. So we go to this offsite. Ray Ozzie, who is the
chief software architect.
So he's like the new Bill Gates in some respects.
Yes.
You know, he brought a bunch of leaders from across the company. Apparently I'm a leader. Well, actually, I was.
I was about to say something snarky, but
go ahead.
No, that's
there, all the listeners are thinking that. I was there to help facilitate the discussion and kind of keep things moving along. And so we get there, and first of all, I was allowed to post about this, which I made the post.
You were MC Nelson.
Yeah, right. I was allowed to make the post last Thursday, and Ray wanted to know what do people think? What does our audience, the Xbox Live and the Xbox consumers, think of the rest of the services? And a lot of people, I said this on the show last week, a lot of people didn't get what I was asking for.
But a lot of people did.
But conversely, there were some really, really well thought out posts there in the comment section. And I must tell you, folks, Ray Ozzie actually went and copied those into a Word doc and had them printed out and was showing them to me and was remarking throughout the weekend about some of the comments on Major Nelson's blog.
And he sent them to a whole bunch of people and said, you should read this.
Yeah.
And yeah, people, we spent quite a bit of time talking about what people had to say.
So people, you know, if you had a well thought out comment up there, I can pretty much guarantee that Ray read it and forwarded it around, because he knows that there's some challenges and we're trying to figure out what the right thing to do is. But it was, so we go to this offsite, and I'm not going to say where it was. All I'll say is, and if you're creative, you can probably figure it out. We were at a resort that was probably, it was literally the last piece of land in America before you get to Canada.
And I'm just going to preempt you and say it was a little connectivity challenged.
Right. Because we weren't on an island.
No.
But pretty damn close to it.
An isthmus?
Oh, bonus points for the isthmus. Mm-hmm. Good idea. Nice use of the word. So we were out at Orr Peninsula. So we were at this place, and it was funny because when we were at the conference center during our sessions during the day, which were long days, we were getting like cell phone coverage in Canada, and then we went over to our rooms, we got some in the United States, or none at all.
Right. And the broadband, the first 24 hours or so we were there.
Oh, this is a funny story.
The Wi-Fi was dead.
Right.
Because someone was handing out DHCP addresses in their hotel room.
Right.
So nobody had any connectivity.
Yeah.
And then when we did get connectivity back, there were so many people trying to use it that it was like being on dial-up.
But we had it was an interesting session. I can't really talk more about it, but I'll just say that we had some really good spirited discussions around how to make other parts of the company work better with other parts of the company.
Yeah, it was about, you know, what's good about our services, what's bad about them, how can we make them better? What do people like, and how do we, you know, do that again in other places?
And we were there with some people from Dean Hachimovich, who's, I believe that's how you pronounce his last name, who's in charge of the Internet Explorer team. Dean was there. Some other folks, the guys in charge of live services, Windows Live Services and live.com.
Bunch of the Windows Live guys, bunch of the people who, you know, build data centers for Microsoft.
Yeah.
The Exchange Hosting Services team, people who provide outsourced email for companies.
Yep.
You name it. There was Research was there. There was pretty much
no shortage of brains
was represented.
Now, so let me just back up a little bit. So Sunday night we get there, we do our thing, we're having a session. Monday morning we jump right into some really high level. Well, actually, some of them weren't high level. Some were pretty technical. And I just turned to Ian. I'm like, I have no idea what these guys are saying. I mean, you were following it. I was just, I have no idea what these guys
that
are
was
saying.
Funny.
Because there were doctorates and
there were some scary smart
way scary smart.
Yeah,
God bless them. So that was the offsite. And then we came back. We drove up. I drove.
Yes.
You just sat there. You sat there. So I ended up driving, and but it was a long drive. I mean, it wasn't as long as it could have been.
It was. Yeah. I'm just glad you were driving because I was still feeling crappy.
You were like all whacked out on some stuff.
I had some good cold meds.
And then we came back, and we were playing. We didn't bring our Xboxes with us, thank God, because we had connectivity issues.
Yeah, I brought my DS, but didn't. I played a little
Castlevania. You did? I didn't bring mine.
I don't go anywhere without my DS. If I travel, I take my DS.
I had my Zune, but I didn't bring my DS.
I had my Zune, which thankfully I had my Zune, because, dude, your taste in music blows.
Yeah, I know. It's a well-documented fact. I have the worst taste in music.
Oh, God.
And I'll be the first to admit it. So we came back. We were playing Orange Box. What are some? Let me just pull up and see. This was an interesting week because let me pull it up now. Because the top 10 list that is out this week was just it's all demos.
Well, people like demos are good. People are a big fan of demos, and publishers have figured this out.
So in the Xbox 360 titles: Halo 3 number 1, Gears of War number 2, The Simpsons game demo number 3, Conan demo number 4. NHL, Madden NFL is 5, Guitar Hero 6, PGR 4 demo 7, Blade Storm demo 8, and then Rainbow Six Vegas. Rainbow Six Vegas still holding on there. God bless them.
It's a good game.
Yeah, we know that. And Forza is a 10. So, no surprise there. Xbox Live members love their demos.
Yeah.
We always have a busy week in Marketplace. Virtua Fighter demo went out. Last week.
Now, does that demo doesn't have online play, does it? It's just...
I don't believe so. I haven't downloaded it yet. Okay. I've been too busy. I haven't downloaded it yet.
I haven't even hooked my console in my office up yet.
Oh, don't even get me started. So we moved offices.
Which, we both had our disasters. So I came back.
Mm-hmm.
So the move started at 5 p.m. Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposed to be done by, 8 a.m. Monday.
Right.
So Monday is when you're supposed to be here to straighten out issues and everything. We were both gone. So I walked back into the office Wednesday. And first of all, my door is wide open. So
Whoops.
It's been unlocked the whole time, which is not good with all the junk I've got in there. And I have a whole bunch of posters that I had on my wall. Halo 3, Gears of War, all sorts of things that I've collected over the last 5 years. I took those off my old office wall, moved them myself along with all my other memorabilia, and laid them flat in my new office. When they moved the rest of my stuff, for some reason, they picked them up, moved them, and folded them in half.
And broke some of your papers.
Yeah, so they're all ripped and have creases in them. Right. And, these are not replaceable. So not real happy about that. And then my refrigerator, which I had also moved myself, I'd moved it myself and plugged it in. They decided to unplug it, move it to the other corner of the office, and not plug it back in so everything in the fridge went.
So all your ice cream melted?
Yeah, my ice cream, because that's what I had in my fridge. So all the beer went bad, everything else that was in there. I have no idea why they would unplug it, move it, not plug it back in.
Is there a plug over in that corner?
No.
That's the other thing. There was no plug in there. So they couldn't do it because there was no plug in that corner. That's why.
Clearly my fault.
So I moved – my stuff all got moved to a different building, one building over. And I have –
Two buildings
two
over.
It is two buildings over. You're right. So we're still on the same campus. But my TV, I have a,
37,
I think. I have a 37-inch LCD in here. I'm not going to tell you the brand because that doesn't matter.
Especially now.
And now it turns on, but there's like gobbledygook on the screen. And yes, the switch is switched behind my 360. I know the HD switch. It's the first thing people are going to say. So now it's like not working. So now I got to get a new screen. And so I'm not online yet either.
Yeah,
that's why you haven't seen me online during the day because I have no screen.
Well, it saved me one entire class of messages over live because I get tons of messages over live,
mm-hmm.
And one that I get almost every day is stop listening to music and do this, do blank for me.
Like what?
Because I come to the office, I turn on my box,
right.
And usually one of the first things I do is I plug my Zune in and put something on for background music.
Right.
I'm not actively really listening to it, but keeps the office from being quiet.
Right.
So everyone, randomly, there's always someone who's upset at me because I'm not doing their pet peeve.
So you can go up to people can go up to Xbox.com, look at the gamer tag E, and see that you're E's listening to music.
Right.
Your presence.
And it's always like, why are you listening to music instead of, you know, giving me Video Marketplace in the UK,
right,
or fixing, you know, this problem or fixing, right, that problem. It's like, I'm not actually, you know, just sitting in my office tapping my feet to the music.
Right, exactly. Yeah, he's not playing karaoke. So anyway, we both had our disasters, some more. You know, your beer loss, obviously. I'm mourning
that's
your loss.
That's hurtful.
Yeah.
But losing an LCD, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, too. So I got to get that replaced. I'm looking for I'm looking for a new LCD screen. Maybe we can talk about this in the gadget section. The other thing that happened, so before we went to this offsite, we did the WCG, World Cyber Games.
Yes.
Which was Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Seattle. It was the World Finals.
So I made Friday afternoon all day Saturday.
Right.
I didn't see Sunday.
You didn't see Sunday.
Although I saw the videos up on Xbox.com and I heard all about it afterwards.
Yeah, we did. Video Monkey did like 12 videos.
And I still need to put mine up. I have a ton of pictures and videos that I took.
You do?
And they're all still sitting on my laptop. I got them out of my camera. So there was a Microsoft lounge towards the back of WCG.
Right.
And there was on Saturday, there was a Gamer Chicks versus the Rat City Rollers. Right. Who are the Seattle Rollerblade team.
Right.
Guitar Hero 2 contest. So that was pretty cool. And I got video of one of the Gamer Chicks playing against the mascot, which is absolutely hilarious. To see this guy in this giant rat suit,
right,
playing guitar. Mm-hmm. Very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sunday, there was a Gamer Chicks versus audience Halo 3 2v2 contest.
Mm-hmm.
And the Gamer Chicks team actually came in second. The only team that beat them were the gold medal winners of the Gears of War WCG contest.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Nice work, ladies. So it was a great event. I was down there had time to go down on Friday. Jeff Keighley and I hosted a little thing on the main stage before the band came on.
The band was really good.
They were good.
I was stunned at how good they were. It was Rock Kills Kid,
yep,
who it turns out is on the Zune Marketplace. I went up there, looked, and downloaded their album. And they were great. I was really surprised because I didn't know who was going to play. I had no idea if they were any good. But it was a nice concert.
So we did that. Now, I must tell you, you were there. We played the we get up there, and we're asking the guys for pyro. Because all Jeff and I want is pyro, which is stage speak for pyrotechnics, meaning some type of explosion or flame or something.
Right.
The guy had pyro, but he wouldn't give it to us because he was reserving it for, like, the winners.
Oh, okay.
So they wouldn't give us any pyro. So we're like, all right. So we go out on stage. Now, going out on stage was huge. Going out on stage and trying to talk to the crowd and throw prizes out while you're doing they're setting up the band backstage is a little off-putting. Because you're trying to work through those guys. The other thing that happened was there's Trixie. Hello, Trixie.
Oh, God.
She's walking by the new office because it's right near the Diet Coke container.
She must be sick. She just blew you a kiss.
She was blowing you a kiss.
Okay.
So that was a little challenging. But what happened was we started throwing things out, and then the fire marshals wouldn't let us go anymore. So I can't throw things out. He wouldn't throw anything out. So, but before we did that, we're over at the Rock Band. We're playing Rock Band.
Oh, don't. Oh, God.
Ugh. So we're playing. Okay, so Jeff Keighley says, hey, why don't you come up and play Rock Band? I'm like, look, you don't want me playing the guitar. You don't want me playing the drums.
We don't want Major singing.
So I started singing. What did I sing? I sang.
Oh, my God. You tried.
Dead or Alive.
Yeah. Bon Jovi wanted Dead or Alive, and you were abysmal.
I did good.
You were abysmal.
And then what was the second one?
Wasn't it Soundgarden?
I want to say it was Joe Walsh.
Might have been. You did better at that. You were abysmal as John Bon Jovi.
Well, I was first. And so let's also be clear. That was the first time I have ever played that game. Ever. Actually, no, it's the second time because I tried drumming.
You didn't know the words of the song.
I did know the words of the song, but it was hard.
Oh, it's
hard. Trying to, because you got to get your voice the right pitch.
You weren't even like starting the words at the right time.
Yes, I was.
No.
You don't have any video to prove it.
Yes, I do.
No, you don't.
No, you do.
You do not.
We will link to
you
it.
You do not.
Yes, I do.
So
I have video on my camera.
So WCG happened.
Hey,
fun.
Everyone, the video will be up. I'll get the link to it out there.
Not.
Don't worry about
it. They don't want to
Lith
see it.
Lith and I will take care of this.
They do not want to see this. So the World Cyber Games were this weekend. I don't know. You know, so they're done.
So Team USA,
mm-hmm,
wow, winning the championship.
Yeah, they came. There were 700 gamers from, just reading this on Xbox.com, from 74 countries, and the U.S. came, they captured the gold. I mean, they really did quite well. So,
they won 3 golds and 2 bronzes or something like that? Wait. The Americans won 3 gold medals, 2 silver medals, and a bronze in 12 events.
Not bad.
So totally unexpected. Congratulations, guys and girls.
Yeah, congratulations. So we'll. I don't know when the next. When does the WCG season kick off? Probably January.
I know it's yearly, but I don't know the actual.
Yeah, so I'm sure they'll be playing Halo 3.
So, oh, I would think so.
Speaking of Halo 3, you haven't been playing that much this week.
We got back Tuesday night.
Yep.
And it's been since then. It's been work, work, work. I'm sure I'm going to play this weekend some.
We're going to play.
We will play.
Well, I played one night for a few hours. Lith and I played some double team. It's funny because Lith works on the blog. He's quite good.
Yes, so especially with a sniper.
We're playing, and we were in the double team, the rank topper, and I wasn't doing well. He's like, "Why don't we go to the social?" I said, "Dude, just tell me let's go to the social so I don't screw your ranking up. Just tell me that." Yeah.
So great story actually from last weekend during WCG. So Saturday at WCG, I was hanging out with some Bungie people, a couple of the frag dolls that were there, Mischief and Jinx were there, and some other people.
And I missed Jinx, by the way. She and I were going back and forth on email. I missed her.
Oh, yeah. She was around at least most of Saturday. I think she was there the whole time. Anyways, Saturday night.
Right.
We go back to my place. Myself, my girlfriend, guy from Bungie, and Mischief, and we're going to play some ranked Halo.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to rank ourselves up. We spent the night in Team Slayer. And at one point, we're playing, I don't know, a good group of guys, have a good game. We beat them. All of a sudden, 3 out of the 4 of us get messages right after the game's over from one guy in the game, mm-hmm. where he's obviously spammed his friend list and us with this message. Oh my gosh, you won't believe this. I just played Halo 3 with E from Xbox Live Operations and a guy from Bungie and a girl from the PMS clan
mm-hmm.
and totally whiffed on the fact that he'd play with a frag doll.
Well, that's crazy.
It was Mischief sitting there going, hey, what about me?
I guess not,
it was
huh?
funny.
Well, yeah. That was the game you wouldn't let me in. I'm sending you invites. I'm like, hey.
We had 4 people in a ranked 4-person hopper.
I know.
So
I know.
And because of the way the Halo 3 ranking system works, once you get a certain number of experience, the next thing you have to do is get your rank high enough up so that you can get, achieve captain, major, lieutenant, whatever
right.
you're trying
commander.
To get to. And we were at the point, I think myself and Mischief both, where we had experience, we needed rank.
Right.
So we just had to stay in a ranked hopper for a while and keep going.
All right, we're gonna take a break for a little quick moment here. I've got Trixie, an interview I did with Trixie and Richard talking about tricks or treats.
And it is that time of year.
Yeah, and one of the games they talk about is the Bee Movie. So right after that, I'm going to roll an interview I did earlier with the producer of the Bee Movie. It's Halloween, one of my least favorite days of the year.
Oh, God, you are such a baby about Halloween.
And I have Trixie here, who's one of my most favorite people.
Aww.
So you have, and you're here with Richard. You brought Richard.
Yes, I brought one of my friends, Manrick, with me today.
Hello.
And you guys are here to talk about Tricks and Treats, which is a cute play on words. It's a program you guys are doing on Xbox.com.
It is. And actually, that cute play on words is courtesy of our own Major Nelson, who thought of that.
Did I come up with that one?
Yes, you did.
That's right, I did. Then you shot it down.
Well, I thought it was like a little self-serving, but,
it just worked so well.
Because if anybody knows self-serving, it's me.
That's true. Plus, there's a picture of me as a witch, which I thought was particularly appropriate.
I'll leave that one alone. And I like the little kids in front here. We've got, looks like a little bear, looks like a little princess, and somebody's a little fireman.
Yeah, that's actually, cool. That's really, we want it to be very kid-friendly. The art team just does a fantastic job on this. I love it. Everyone really, really likes the art.
Oh, and the moon is a little Xbox jewel.
Isn't that cute?
That is cool. So tell us what the program's all about. So Halloween's coming up later on this month, which is, and I'm not going to say holiday, but it's one of your favorite days.
I love it because it's really the only opportunity I get to wear my fairy wings and my Viking horns at the same time.
And not get double takes.
And not get double takes. Yeah, I actually, Manrick and Manrick's wife, Dammy, and I all went to a Halloween party a couple years ago, and Manrick and Dammy dressed up as bunnies.
I almost forgot about that.
I remember that one. Those photos.
Manrick, you were kind of cranky that night. You had like something stuck up your butt. You were kind of a poop that night.
Maybe it was a carrot.
All right. That's, and completely family friendly now.
Oops,
so tell us about the program. So people can find it at xbox.com/tricks and treats.
That's right. And so Richard and I came up with this program because there is just a plethora, a cornucopia, a wealth of kid-friendly games launching the month of October.
Right. And Richard's here because he works with third-party guys.
That's right. And so he's going to tell you all the fab games.
So what do we got, Richard?
Oh, all right. Well, so far, Spider-Man Friend or Foe is already released.
Right. And, Spider-Man Friend or Foe.
If anyone who hasn't gotten a chance to play the demo, please go on to Marketplace and then download it. Okay. You get to play as Spider-Man. You get to play as the Green Goblin. You get to play as Venom. Oh.
Yeah, hold the mic closer.
It's a great game. Check it out. We have Crash of the Titans, which also released. That's a Crash Bandicoot title.
Right.
I think your audience is probably familiar with Crash Bandicoot.
Absolutely, Crash Bandicoot.
This is a little bit of a different type of gameplay where Crash Bandicoot actually gets to, I was going to say mount, different creatures.
Well, you just
large,
did.
Yeah, I guess it's out there now. For all intents and purposes, he gets to ride different creatures. That's not much better.
Right.
And fight his enemies atop of these behemoths. Really good style. I like this one a lot.
Okay, so that's so it's really the program is just all about the cool games. That's what I'm trying to get my head around.
That is exactly right. It was through I think mostly coincidence that there's just so many of them that came out.
Well, it's not really coincidence because if you look at, and I hate, I'm going to sound like a marketing goon, but the Xbox 360 has like the most amazing lineup ever this holiday. So what I'm saying, it's not by coincidence because there's just a huge number of games.
That is true. That is true.
And you would know better than anybody because you're working on all these things.
Well, October turned out to be just a particularly kid-friendly month for October, for titles.
So quickly go through the titles. You talked about Clash of the Titans, Spider-Man Friend or Foe.
Looney Tunes, which is coming out on the 9th.
Acme Arsenal.
Acme Arsenal, correct.
Came out on the 9th.
Right.
I've already played it.
Fantastic. Uh-huh. Here's our core audience, I guess. Avatar, The Last Airbender, Burning Earth, which is coming out on the 16th.
Twice. Okay.
Avatar, yeah, is a kid's cartoon.
Okay. It's kind of like Naruto, which is also on this list.
That's right. Thrillville, Off the Rails.
Now, there's a demo up for that on Xbox
Live. There's a demo up for that as well.
There's a demo up on Xbox
Live.
It's a good one. Okay. So we got Thrillville, Looney Tunes, Spider-Man. What about for the young kids, the E for everyone crowd?
Well, one of my favorites, Beautiful Katamari.
Yay!
Which, have you, Trixie, you played a little Beautiful Katamari before or any Katamari titles?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Katamari. I actually bought somebody's used PS2 so I could play Katamari Damacy because I couldn't wait. But I played Beautiful Katamari, the demo that was on the OXM disc. I played that, and I kind of kick butt at it.
I think I know why, because a lot of people may not know this, but your office is a mess.
Oh, no.
And I think maybe, you know, if you could roll that Katamari ball around in your office, you'd get an amazing score.
I would love that. If somebody out there
sheep
can create
and cows
an actual
and chickens and cars
big
and
sticky ball for me to roll around my office.
Yeah, it was so Beautiful Katamari.
I'll be your best friend forever.
Come to the
ever.
Xbox 360. When's that out, Richard?
The 16th. The 16th. The 16th.
Okay.
No problem.
What else we got?
Cars, Mater National.
What is that? I mean, I know what Mater is. I know Cars. So there's a follow-up?
There is a follow-up game. Okay. And the demo is going to be released soon. I have not had the opportunity to play it yet, but the game is coming out on the 23rd. The demo should be out next week.
Okay.
So we'll keep an eye out for that.
When it gets out, because we don't give dates on the show because dates slip.
Right.
Yeah, unless it's already out, we don't give dates on the show because we never know.
Another game based on a TV show, Naruto. You mentioned that earlier.
That's a big TV show.
Yeah, it's going to be a very popular title.
Okay.
B-Movie Game.
Which is the new movie coming out with starring Jerry Seinfeld.
He
produced and directed and did all these crazies. No, he actually wrote it. I think it was his idea.
And the demo's out there right now. So check it out.
And then the big one.
Viva Pinata Party
Animals.
Viva Pinata Party Animals. Fun game. Have you had a chance to play it?
We played it at E3. I haven't played the final. We played the burping game.
I was really, really good at the burping game. I can't, bust them out on demand.
So describe this Viva Pinata Party Animals.
I did it!
Thank you. For people that don't know, I mean, people are maybe familiar with Viva Pinata, and maybe it wasn't their thing. What's this game about? This is mini games.
Well, it's actually a very different game. I mean, with Viva Pinata, if you played the original, you actually had to kind of build up your pinatas, build up your garden. This is, like you mentioned, just bite-sized little mini games. Right. So it's incorporating
a lot of mini games.
I mean, it's incorporating the same characters. 40. Yeah, there's.
Okay. I want to quantify
I think you get to play five.
Starting low and we're going to go up.
But yeah, I mean, a great kind of game where you can just put it, drop it in, get a bunch of people to play at the same time, and should be a very popular one.
We'll be playing that one. You can play over live with that too, right?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So what else we got?
And that is it.
Tell us a bit more about Tricks or Treats. Tell us about the sweepstakes.
Oh gosh, the sweepstakes is fantastic. So Richard Manrick, Richie, went to all of his little publisher friends and got and went begging for the most fabulous stuff. We have an incredible prize packages.
So you got a copy of all, basically, can I read, I have it
yes,
in front of me.
Yes, you do it.
So you can actually go to the Tricks or Treats and, on Xbox.com and you have a full list, but it's a copy of all the games we just mentioned.
Yep.
It's a B-movie antenna headband. Is that what you were wearing? Did I see you wearing that?
I made KP wear the
okay.
antenna.
A B-movie plush toy.
It's
Katamari.
Really cute.
A Katamari puppet?
Yes! That one. Did you watch our videos from TGS?
Yes.
There was, they had a Katamari puppet in there.
Do you have one?
And
did you get me one?
Yeah.
I want to see it.
You
all
can't
right.
have it, though.
So you got
unless
so
you want to trade for the Giant Stewie.
So you got some... We didn't talk about that.
Sorry.
I'll talk about Giant Stewie later.
All right.
Katamari puppet, phone charm, off the rails, Looney. So you got, I mean, there's like $500 worth of stuff in here.
There is a lot of stuff. And I mean, not to mention, it's games, it's toys, it's clothing, and there's also a DVD. It's like Looney Tunes Volume 4. I mean, I was watching that last night.
Those are the best cartoons ever.
Oh my God.
No, this is not like, wasn't there like in the 80s or 90s like Baby Tunes or something?
No.
This is like the real deal.
No. This is
These are the completely politically
bugs.
Incorrect ones.
This is pronoun trouble.
Yeah.
And kill the wabbit.
So you got those. Now you've got that, and then you've also got a ton of you've got second prize packages and third prize. So you really have a good chance to win. Now, who's this open to, Trixie?
This is open to everyone basically 13 or older in the United States of America,
including District
in
of Columbia,
United States. Yes, yeah. If you win the big, like the grand prize or first prize packages, are worth kind of a lot of bank. And if you are under 18, I'm going to have to award it to your parent or guardian, but hopefully they won't steal your crap.
Right.
But yeah, we tried to make it open to as many people as possible. I am sorry, European and people around the world that I know listen to your show, Major. This isn't about not liking you and stuff. This is just about legal repercussions. And if you want some cool contests like this, then send some messages to AC Bongos, because he is your man on your side of the world.
On the other side of the pond. So
that's right.
He does. Anyway, so that's good. So it actually kicked off today, right?
Yep.
Off,
you
so
can just go.
Off already.
Actually, if you go to xbox.com, whack tricks and treats sweeps, that's two S's next to each other, so don't type in the wrong URL, you can register for it. You just click an easy register button,
mm-hmm.
Sign in with your passport, and doop, you're in.
Doop, you're in. Now, when's the cutoff? You have to register by when? Can you register more than once? Once per gamer tag, right?
Once per gamer tag, and you can register through the witching hour on Halloween.
So October 31st.
11:59 p.m. Pacific.
And then when will the winners be notified?
We're going to take about a week to verify our winners. Right. And so first week of November, we should notify the winners. And we'll get your stuff in the mail and make you very, very happy.
I love the Viva Pinata tie-in, because it looks to be an interesting game. And, of course, there's candy.
And be sure to participate in all the family game nights that we have coming up.
Yeah, tell me about
October.
Those.
That's right. Thank you for reminding me, Manrick.
Twice as many.
Yeah. There are like 10 family game nights this month, because we wanted to feature all of these titles.
Now, what are the family game nights?
So
for
family
those?
Game nights are, it's part of our Xbox Live programming every Tuesday night. Usually, on a normal month, every single Tuesday night, we pick a family-friendly game.
Mm-hmm.
It's rated no higher than T. Most of the time, it's E or E10.
Mm-hmm.
But, and it's a great opportunity to play with family members that are around the world if you want, or just sit on the couch with your kids. I mean, me and my kids are going to be playing the heck out of Viva Pinata Party Animals, because we're all Viva Pinata fans, and it's going to be fun. just to, you know, just spend some time with your kids. You know how, I think it was it Parker Brothers that used to have a family board game night?
Or somebody like that.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of like that, except it's video games. So, you know, get your extra controllers out and play with your family.
I see Bomberman on this list, Bomberman Live.
I like Bomberman.
Yeah, everybody does.
Yeah, yeah. And what else did I put in there? Oh, Boom Boom Rocket. I'm still a big fan of Boom Boom Rocket. I love that game.
I forgot you like Boom Boom Rocket. So this is a great title. So Family Game Night is a way to get the kids together, connect with your families across the and this is just to have fun. There's no prizes
here.
This is just a
point
to get together.
And to
so it's open to anybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, if you're, you know, 50 years old and you hate kids, play it anyway.
You have no family. All right, that's cool. So you have a lot going on with Tricks or Treats with the contest with the all these great games. And really it's these games are coming out and it's really about getting all these great games, you know, Clash of Titans, Looney Tunes, Acme Arsenal. I mean, the list goes on.
Yeah. They're great fun games. I mean, especially like, well, you know, I mean, even if you're not a kid, if you're like me and you just are not particularly fond of shooting or racing or God forbid sports, no offense, sports fans. But these are my kind of games. You know, it's like the learning curve isn't huge. I can, you know, you can pick it up for, you know, an hour while dinner's in the oven, you know, and put it down and not feel like, yeah, I know, shut up. I actually make frozen pizza in my oven. Oh my God, Mage, I had the funniest conversation. You met Kiki Cat when she was out here,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So she's IMing me, telling me about how her apartment's a mess. And I think that she's not quite as big a slob as me, but she could give me a run for my money. And she says, oh my God, I don't think I've cleaned my oven ever. And I go, are you supposed to clean them?
Yeah, I think you are. That's why there's a clean. Usually, there's a cleaning thing. So, anyway, so all right. So Tricks or Treats, it's happening. So I need to ask you though. So since Halloween is one of your favorite times of year, what will you be dressing up as for the big party? And is there a party at Ease? We're gonna have to ask you later.
No, Ease's not having a party this year because he's gonna be down at a Ducks game. So I'm bummed out. I need something to do for on Halloween. So you know, if you got a Halloween party and you live in the Pacific Northwest. Shoot me a mail.
What are you gonna dress as?
I'm gonna be a Girl Scout.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me about some of the merit badges you've.
They're not anything I can say on your show, Major Nelson.
Right,
but
right.
You know the patches, they're pretty.
Yes, I'm sure they are.
NC-17.
All right. What about you, Richard? Do you like Halloween?
You know, I don't think I've been to a Halloween party since the one, the aforementioned one from Trixie. I have no plans.
You should have a party, so then I'll have a place to go.
You know, the only thing I like about Halloween, I think we talked
the
about
candy?
This. No, well, besides the candy, specifically, it's the only time of the year I can find those multi-flavored Tootsie Rolls. You know the ones that have green and the cherries?
Those are pretty gross.
Yeah. I love those. Yeah. God, I love those. Tricks or Treats coming up. It's available now. If you want to win some cool stuff, go check it out. I appreciate you guys coming by. Yeah.
Thank you. And make sure you check it out on Marketplace as well. We've got them all under some nifty little banners there. You can find all the content available.
Oh, really? So, yes. Like all the demos and whatnot?
Yes. All the demos and gamer picks and themes and trailers.
We've got gamer picks and themes coming out. Wait a minute.
We have them available. Well, no. The demos are, though.
The demos are, of course.
And, of course, the trailers.
The trailers are free, but the gamer picks and themes, they want
and
some.
It's free to enter the sweepstakes.
It's free to enter the sweepstakes. All right. Thank you, folks, for coming on by, Trixie. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show, Graham.
Showgram. Yes. Is that your new word?
Yes, showgram.
So, I like that.
So thank you. And
thanks for having
Richard,
me,
Richard. You're always welcome to come on by, and you got some cool stuff coming up. You know, third party's busy.
Oh yeah, third party's always busy.
So people, why don't you explain third party? People hear us talk about third party.
Sure.
There's first party. There's second party.
Right,
there's third party.
Party.
Why don't you go ahead and explain?
So third party are games that are developed and published by someone other than Microsoft,
but they're on the Xbox 360 or games for Windows platform.
They're on the Xbox 360. And sometimes even exclusive. For example, Beautiful Katamari, you can only buy for the Xbox 360.
Or BioShock was.
And BioShock was another example of a third-party game that was only available on the 360.
Now, what's second party?
Now, second party is developed by another company, but published by Microsoft.
Okay.
And then finally, first party is both developed and published by a Microsoft company. Now, you're going to say, well, what about Halo?
Right.
Bungie, technically, at the time, was a Microsoft company,
sure,
and therefore was developed and published.
I'm getting those guys on soon. So there we go. I appreciate you coming over and explaining, because we talk about it a lot, and I know a lot of new people don't really want to raise their hand in class and go, what's first, second, and third party? Because that can be a little confusing. So
yeah, and we got a really great second party title coming out soon, Ninja Gaiden 2.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I'm so excited for that.
You know who's
so
a really ninja, big Ninja Gaiden fan?
Who?
Remember Van?
Oh, my God.
We had a guy who used to work on the live team Van. Who was unbelievable. This guy was a fighting machine.
Well, that's really saying something because was a very tough game, Ninja Gaiden. I don't know if they've toned it down a little bit for two.
Well, we'll find out.
But I was just getting my butt kicked on the first
one. Maybe you should be a ninja for Halloween, Trixie.
Well, that's really not how I roll.
Or one of the DOA girls.
Okay, that's kind of more how I roll.
All right, we're going to wrap it up now. Thanks, guys.
Okay, thanks, Mage.
Bye.
Mike Ward, executive producer of the B-Movie, is with me on the line. Mike, hello there.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. So you worked on the B-Movie game, which is a game, obviously, based on a movie, obviously, because it says all that in the title. What was it like working on a game where you have to base it on a film?
Well, it's a fun experience for us as an opportunity to, you know, explore a universe that's been created by someone that we're all big fans of, Jerry Seinfeld, obviously.
Right.
You know, we've done a couple of games with DreamWorks and our partners at DreamWorks before, so we're familiar with the process in terms of crawling inside, you know, a story environment that's been created and then trying to have a lot of fun in that sandbox. And so that process was... you know, we did the same process, approached it the same way for B-Movie. But again, you know, having someone like Seinfeld creating these characters and providing this rich environment for us to play in was really, really, really fun for us. And you know, we had a good time with it.
So, you know, you work with Jerry Seinfeld. Obviously, has he played the game? Have you worked closely with him to work through? And did he go, you know, I don't know if I like that. You know, did he really give you some feedback on the game?
He did. We met with him several times throughout the course of production. Obviously, he was quite busy working on the movie. That's his primary focus.
Sure.
But we met with the film crew several times throughout the course of our production cycle, including Jerry, and to show from early stages where we actually did presentations in terms of where we wanted to take the game and what types of gameplay mechanics we wanted to introduce, and you know, the story, the characters, and We used the film story kind of as a backbone. We were also able to branch off and take things and go in and expand on the story in certain directions. And something that might, you know, be glossed over in the film in about you know, a 10-second shot in the film is an area for us. We might be able to explore that area deeper. And so we kind of brainstormed those ideas with them and ran all that by them and got their feedback. And he was. He checked in on things throughout the course of the game. In fact, at our last, we showed him kind of a almost finished version of the game at one of our last, you know, encounters with him, and he kind of gushed over it. I think he was pretty happy with where it ended up. So we were really happy that his, you know, he kind of got his little blessing there.
Yeah, it's fun. The movie is going to be. When's the movie coming out? Because I know the game's coming out very soon. Coming out next week, right?
In November.
Oh, okay.
November 2nd.
So the game's coming out. So the movie's coming out November 2nd, and the game is available when?
It will be in stores by the time the movie, just prior to the movie launch. So our, you know, our goal is always, I hate to have somebody go see a movie and want to play the game and not be able to find it. So our, you know, we should be fully distributed in stores by the time the movie launches.
Now, this is obviously, it's native to next gen. I hear that it's 1080p on the Xbox 360. Is that correct?
That is correct. This was actually one of the first titles we've done for DreamWorks title that we've actually developed on next gen, and 360 was our platform we developed on, and it is it looks gorgeous in 1080p. So in fact, it's fun for us to be able to do some of these sequences that some of our gameplay sequences are taken right from the, you know, sequences of the movie, and you know, I think they look really comparable. I'm sure that you know, an artist who worked on the film would say that the film would differ with that, but I think our game sequences just look fantastic on a big screen in 1080p, and they really mirror, do a good job of mirroring the film.
Yeah, I want to talk to you about the fact that this is a, you know, it's a great title for kids. This is rated E for everyone. It's going to be available on the Xbox 360, pretty much every platform known to mankind out there.
Correct.
But it's going to be 1080p on the 360, as you discussed. Talk us a little bit about what can we expect in the game. I don't want to give away too much of the movie, because obviously it's based a lot on the movie, but tell us a little bit about what we can expect in the game in terms of gameplay mechanics.
Well, we wanted to approach this... The developer we worked is a studio that we work. It's one of our internal studios that we own up in Canada. And these guys really sat down and brainstormed and tried to make this. They wanted to infuse the game with a wide variety of kind of different gameplay mechanics instead of just your traditional, do the same thing, lather, rinse, repeat. They wanted to approach it differently and really kind of blow out the diversity. So the game itself can kind of be divided into two camps. Like all good bees, your life starts out in the hive, and that's the same. That's no different. Our main character's name is Barry B. Benson, and that's the character that's played by Jerry Seinfeld in the movie. And he starts out as a bee in the hive, and he's not entirely sure that he wants to just go into the family business, which is honey. And he kind of longs for a life that has a little more excitement, and he really wants to go outside of the hive. And so as the player kind of progresses with Barry's, life, he does some jobs for the local, machinery inside the hive. And then he has a chance to go outside of the hive and experience life in New York City on the streets. And so the game has those two areas where you'll do some things that are inside the hive with all the bees, and you get to see what bee life is like inside the hive, and it's kind of fascinating. And then you're able to go outside as well and interact with some of the things that, on the dangerous streets of New York. And I tell you, if you think the streets of New York City are dangerous as a human, try racing down a busy street when you're the size of a bee and you've got traffic coming at you and you've got all sorts of, dogs barking at you and things. There's a couple of levels where you've got to be pretty quick-witted to kind of survive. And so from a gameplay mechanic standpoint, it's like I said, that you start in the hive, you're able to race cars, you're able to do delivery and taxi missions. You go outside, you have to dodge your way down busy streets and avoid being hit by frisbees and kids throwing rocks, skipping rocks on a pond, and you've got frogs and you've got dogs. The other thing that we learn about bees is that bees can't fly in rain. And of course, we've got a couple of levels where you have to find your way, navigate your way down a street, just finding cover spots to avoid being hit by rain. So what else? Of course, part of Barry's goal to go outside is to hang out with the pollen jocks, and those are kind of the big men on campus who get to go outside and have all the adventure.
Right.
And their job is to, find the pollen and gather it with their pollinator gear. And so Barry gets to go do that as well. So there are some levels where you'll have to be out looking for pollination stations where you can gather that and be able to kind of, continue to... those are kind of the collection missions, but you get to explore large areas of outdoor. There are apiaries you can explore. There's actually a great section that's set in Central Park. It's really, really beautiful. A lot of variety of color and things to look through there. So, I think that's kind of.
I want to talk to you a little bit about obviously the main goal that Barry has to do as he's flying around. You were talking about that. And there may be some parents that are listening right now, and they're saying, wow, that may be kind of tough for my little ones. How is it working on flight controls that maybe translate to adults as well as kids?
Well, it's something that we really took to heart throughout the course of development. A lot of the people who worked on the game are people who have younger kids right around the age range we're targeting at home, and that would be in the 8 to 12-year-old range. We want to make sure that even kids who weren't really diehard gamers could still pick this game up and have a good time with it. In fact, I have two daughters who I brought in over one of the weekends and let them play for a while and kind of just watch them play and see if they could figure things out and use that information to make the game really simple. So in terms of knowing where to go next and what to do, we provide a lot of on-screen help, and there's a lot of people that are there to kind of guide you and tell you what to do next. The gameplay itself is fairly easy to pick up and run with, and it progresses and gets a little more difficult as you go through the levels. The end levels are obviously a little more difficult to achieve. But we also we wanted to simplify things. You know, it's flight is one of those dangerous things that you experience in a game, and everybody responds to it differently. And we worked really hard to make sure that our flight, the levels where we're actually having to fly, is as simple as possible. There's some scenes in, like, for example, in New York City and in the Central Park, where you've got to, Barry finds himself having to defend an area and fend off kind of some dragonflies that have moved into the area there. And so he's got to use his pollinator gear to kind of shoot little pollen bursts at them to kind of, you know, ward off these bad guys. You know, we were concerned. We didn't want to overwhelm the player with having to steer and navigate and fly and aim and pull the trigger and all everything at once. And so we worked really hard to simplify that mechanic, so it should just be, you know, you don't have to worry about targeting and things like that. We really helped the player along and give a lot of assists on that. So it should. We wanted to make it so your experience just boils down to the fun parts. And I think we did a pretty good job. Judging from the feedback we've had, we've done a lot of play tests. It's pretty easy to pick up the mechanics of, you know, navigating through the various levels, and then you should just be focusing on having fun while you're doing it. So I think we achieved that pretty well.
Mike, I got to let you go in just a minute, but I want to ask you about the Generation Hex Arcade. Tell me what that's all about.
Well, there's, you know, the Hive, as you'll discover, it's a little city, and that's where the bees live. And it's, you know, it's no different than many people don't realize that's what goes on in a hive. That it's actually a little city, and they drive cars, and they have shops and things they can do. And there's an arcade. That's like when I grew up. You know, I used to love going down to the arcade and popping quarters in the machines and playing arcade games. And there's a little arcade inside the hive that the kids hang out, as they say. And you know, the player will be able to unlock the little arcade games as they progress through the game. And so there's a variety of little kind of old school arcade style games that you can go in and play and try to beat the high score and things like that. It's actually kind of just a fun hangout area inside the hive. So that's what the arcade is.
Great.
It's actually
like
pretty fun. It's a good way if you want to just get a quick fix and go in and play a game. You can jump into the arcade and you could
buzz into the arcade and have a little bit of fun there.
Oh, you had to go there, didn't you?
Yeah, sorry.
Nicely done.
So anyway, Mike Ward, executive producer for the Bee Movie. It's coming out coincidentally with the film, which will be out this November. Mike, I appreciate your time today.
Hey, my pleasure. Nice talking to you.
All right. So that was. That was Trixie and Richard talking about Tricks or Treats and then the Bee Movie guy. So while he and I stopped down and, you know, I did the interviews before, so I dropped those in there. I go to the restroom. Now, one of the hazards of moving into a new office building is you got to find the bathroom.
You didn't like go out in the street, did
no,
you?
No. This is actually quite interesting. Now, they do this weird thing on campus at Microsoft where the buildings all are pretty much fairly similar. They're kind of like groups of buildings that are similar.
Oh, no. I think I know where you're going.
Now, for some reason, all the buildings on our office are pretty much this, in our campus, are pretty much the same. Except they like to alternate the men's and women's room. So they're on one side of the building and then on the other side of the building.
Uh-huh.
So this is the first time I've gone to the men's room here. So I'm not paying attention. I go into what was the men's room in my old building.
Oh, no.
And I walk in and I'm going, where are the urinals and why does it smell so nice? And I was like, oh, no.
Did you get caught?
No, I turned around and ran out. I don't even know what was. I was just like, oh, no. I knew exactly what I did the moment.
Yeah.
The moment because, oh. So they do this thing on campus. I don't know why they do that. So there's like five buildings that are pretty much designed pretty much the same, but they decide to move the men's and ladies room around.
Awesome.
Yeah, that just happened. So we're back. Thank you to Trixie and Richard for coming by and talking about Tricks or Treats. You can go up to xbox.com to enter that contest. Have you seen all this cool stuff they're giving away, E?
No, I haven't.
They have got some great stuff. They have got, let me go back a little bit here and I'll show you.
Yeah, it was right there and then you broke it.
I did break it, didn't I? Why did I do that?
I don't know.
Oh, it's pretty simple. So they've got a copy of all these games. Joe, you know, they talked about them in the interview and all this cool stuff they're going to give away. You should see the Katamari puppets.
I was just going to say the Katamari swag? Puppets, yeah. I love Katamari swag.
We'll go down. I'll show you those. I'm trying to steal one, but she won't give me one.
Hey.
So
I've got a friend who is so into Katamari, it's sick.
So the next thing we need to do is do you want to name the game, or what do you want to do?
Name the game works.
So I have a little bit of an issue, and I talked to you about this today at lunch.
Which issue that we talked about at lunch?
Remember I said, I had something to say, and I said, you know what, we'll talk about it during the show.
Ah, okay. It would be hard for me to remember that since we didn't actually talk about it. You just interrupted yourself.
We forgot to do Name the Game last week.
What's this week?
Completely whiffed.
I'm the co-host.
Dude, I just completely whiffed on it. So we awarded the winner for the old one, and then I never said, here's the new one, and we never played a new clip.
Oops. So we should do that this week.
See, we should do that. Yes. So that said, I apologize for the lack of Name the Game. It's back.
Woo!
After a one-week hiatus.
It just needed a rest. It was tired. It was...
Much like E, it wasn't feeling well.
There you go.
So here's the name of the game, the brand new Name the Game for this week. All right, so that's the Name the Game for this week, which we have remembered to do. If you think you know what that is, send me an email, major@xbox.com. Put Name the Game, colon, your guess, and then we'll put in the body your gamer tag if you have one and where you're from.
And next week, we'll try to remember to do the payoff.
Yeah. See, sometimes we just start yakking here. We totally forget that, yeah, this needs structure. Structure's good.
We tried this week. We actually, have a list of things on the
window. Oh, did we cover all those? Yeah, we did. We're going through some of those.
No, we didn't cover all those. We covered, three.
Okay, we got some more to do.
Or four, five?
Name the Game, that's Name the Game. If you think you know what that is, it's pretty straightforward. I think he knows what it is as well, since he saw me playing the clip.
That does help.
So send me an email, major@xbox.com. So, E, Xbox 101, you ready?
No.
You're going to be ready now, because I'm going to play this Funky clip, and when we come back from playing Funky...
Then I better have something to give.
Xbox 101 with Major Nelson.
E? Yeah, who's completely unprepared. What do you have this week?
This week, we have a very simple tip.
Right.
But
something useful nonetheless.
Useful that most people probably don't know, because if they're like me... When they get something new home, the very first thing they do is open it up and then throw away all the packaging and all the manuals because, yep, of course, they don't need it. They can figure it out.
Right.
And then 6 months to a year down the road, they're like, I need to look that up. I don't have the manual. What do I do?
Right. So what do you do, E?
What you do is you go to Xbox.com, mm-hmm, and you go to the support page.
I'll put a link to this up on the blog.
Yep. And under the resources section.
Yep.
Oh, wow, that was cool. Your screen just automatically changed to something else. So under resources,
yep,
we have a section called instruction manuals. And we have what looks like a 100% complete list of the instruction manuals for the Xbox 360 and all the accessories, including cables, remotes, HD DVD player, you name it, all up there in PDF format.
There you go. That's actually kind of cool because you can download them and PDFs are great.
This is kind of useful for stuff like, hey, I need to program my universal remote and I don't know the code or I don't remember the process or how do I bind my wireless headset?
Yeah, so the simple stuff like that makes perfect sense. So there you go. That's one that's simple that a lot of people really... really don't know about.
And that we've never done before.
We've never done that one before. Importantly, we've never done before.
Yeah, it's hard to find Xbox 101s. We haven't done at some point.
People email them to us. Major@xbox.com. Send me your Xbox 101s so that he can have something.
Yes, please.
Let's talk about gadgets.
We have gadgets galore.
So the gadgets, one of the things I got when I moved to my new office was voice over IP phones.
Yes.
So at Microsoft, they're rolling out these voice over IP phones, which are these fancy schmancy phones. This one has a big screen or a little screen. It's really kind of cool because everybody in my Outlook contact shows up on my phone.
Yeah, it's a good size screen. It's like 4 inches diagonally or something.
Yeah, it's a little touch screen. It's actually got a cool scroll wheel too. So anyway, we've got this cool thing, and I can go in here and I can type in, you know, like for instance, I'll type in E, and it will go to Eric's. There you go. And I can actually,
that's kind of cool.
And I can actually call you.
I'm not there because I'm here.
That's right. You're here. So we'll hang up. So you can kind of do that thing. Another phone which they gave me as well. It's kind of interesting because it works with Office Communicator, which is a Microsoft product. Is the phone plugs into my laptop, and when I'm traveling, when someone dials my office phone, this phone will actually ring,
which is really cool. So you can be in a hotel room. You need to take. I mean, it's great for conference calls because it's got a speakerphone.
Right. It's got a little speakerphone here. It's got all this stuff. Now, what's interesting is I plugged it into my Lenovo laptop. He was here for this.
This was the funniest
thing. And I plug it in, and it's working great because you pick up the receiver. There's no dial pad on it because you use the computer. You pick up the receiver, and it instantly opens Office Communicator, you know, where I can see all my contacts and whatnot. But in addition, on my Lenovo, there's a weird bug because it ejects my DVD drawer.
When you hang up.
When I hang up. So it's like I'm put it down, boop, the thing pops open.
And it's 100% reproducible.
Yeah.
And it's very entertaining. I could do that all day.
Yeah, so that was, that's, I don't know what, to talk to those. That's we test internally at Microsoft. We're always testing things, you know, all the stuff that we use, you know, all the different technologies. And the company has a ton of technologies, as you and I found out when we went to this Ray Ozzie offsite. But this, I didn't even know we were doing this stuff. This is cool.
And it's not only cool for us, but there's a reason we do it.
Right.
By testing this kind of stuff, then by the time it gets to our customers,
right,
hopefully it doesn't eject their DVD drive.
The neat thing I like about this one, I haven't showed you this feature. When someone dials me, I can program it so when someone dials my office number, it will simultaneously ring my mobile phone.
That's cool. Because I've done that with my home phone. All the numbers on my home phone,
right,
where I have voice over IP service,
right,
go straight to my cell phone as well,
right,
which is really nice.
That's kind of nifty. So there you go. That's tech. What do you got for the gadgets? You got a new phone.
I got a new phone. It's not even out of the box yet.
You came by and poached my phone. My phone guy came by to give me this phone, and you're like, oh, I'll take that.
He likes me better.
You put me in a bad position.
Yeah, wham. So I've yapped a bunch about how I like the Dash. This is basically the next-gen Dash.
Right.
I have no idea what the U.S. name for it's going to be. It's made by HTC. It's the S630. And it literally, it's like the Dash V2. Faster CPU, better screen, better camera, all that good stuff.
Right.
And it looks really nice, but I've got to go charge it and set it up and all that jazz.
So that's fun. And I've got a new phone. He's going to bring me a phone as well, so we've got that. The other thing that we want to talk about, it's kind of not really gadgety, but it kind of is. I put a note on this on Twitter. I'm using Twitter to kind of do more frequent updates, little quick hits. And this one is interesting because the SkyDrive has been updated. So skydrive.live.com, you and I talked about that.
Right. A couple of weeks ago we mentioned this when it went into beta.
How would you describe this, E?
It's literally a folder in the sky.
Right.
So you look at your desktop, you've got Explorer, you've got all your folders. Here's one that's up in the cloud for you that you can shove documents into.
Or photos.
Or photos, whatever you want, and access them from anywhere.
Right, so they updated it. It now has 1 gigabyte of storage. It's got RSS feeds, so you can subscribe to an RSS feed of a public folder.
Right.
And I got an interesting email from a couple of different people who use this at school. I don't know if they were in high school or college, but that's how they do. They basically use it for collaborative sharing. Like, hey, I'll work on the paper, I'll upload it, and then when you're done, you know, they subscribe to the RSS feed, and it says, hey, so-and-so finished or uploaded the paper.
Right, and it works for anyone. It's really nice, and it's like a USB key you don't have to carry around.
It's in the sky.
Yeah, so which is cool. Now, one cool thing we did learn about that's kind of related at the offsite.
Right.
This is actually kind of neat. Technology called Folder Share.
Right.
And this is something Microsoft picked up like back in 2005 and has been playing with. And I am really going to try this out this weekend. So it's a completely secure P2P app. So load it
peer-to-peer.
On peer-to-peer. Load it on your desktop.
Mm-hmm.
Designate the folders you want shared with Folder Share.
Right.
Go to another computer, load the same
like,
thing.
So like working home.
Right. And it keeps the folders completely synchronized. It's got complete encryption, everything you could ask for, so your data is protected. And it's great for backups or collaborative sharing, anything like that.
So that's interesting.
Put it on, say, your laptop.
Yep.
And designate your My Documents. And then put it on a computer at home. And boom, you've got an always backed up copy of the documents on your laptop on your computer at home.
Wow. SkyDrive. Or that's
Folder Share.
Yeah. We got to clean all these products up.
FolderShare.com. So I was talking to one of the guys who works on the team, and wow. So I got to go try this. Completely free.
Yep.
It looks really nice.
Folder Share. I got to remember to link up to Folder Share because Folder Share is kind of cool.
Yeah.
What else you got? Oh, I know what you're going to talk about.
Yeah. So I think we've talked about this before, but this weekend I'm installing Windows Home Server.
Windows Home Server is something that we announced, I think it was CES.
It's just now starting to ship.
Right.
And you go buy a Windows Home Server computer, or you can get it through the System Builder channel.
Right.
If you're a System Builder.
Right.
And think of it as it's a customized version of Windows Server 2003, literally to act as your home server, to hold all of your music, all your photos, all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The cool thing about it is you install Windows Home Server, or you go to, you know, HP or whoever and buy a box that has this on it. And then you can just start plugging in arbitrary storage devices into it.
Right.
USB, eSATA, internal hard drive.
Pretty much anything.
Yeah. Complete mix and match. It doesn't care. You know, it's not like RAID where they have to be all, you know, the same side or you lose storage. And then it will just put stuff on the disks. It'll grab things off the clients in your house and back them up automatically. And then if you mark a folder as duplicate, it'll keep two copies. And it's smart enough to put those two copies on different physical devices.
Interesting.
So I bought three external 500 gig hard drives, USB 2.0.
It's 1.5 terabytes for those of you keeping score of e-storage capabilities.
Yes. And I'm going to mark basically everything for duplication. I've got, you know, I don't know, 50, 75 gigs of digital photos. I've got 60 or 70 gigs of music in WMA lossless.
Mm-hmm.
I've got years and years of, you know, documents. I've got hundreds of gigs of stuff.
Feel free to delete those movies that you took of me in Rock Band.
No.
You don't need to save those.
Trust me, those are going on the internet.
No.
So I got hundreds of gigs of stuff, and I long ago gave up, like, burning DVDs for the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But some of it's important, you know, photos of my kid and things like that. So I'm just going to put it on Windows Home Server, and it just takes care of it. And
just figures it all out.
Yeah, and if I lose a hard drive, I don't care because it makes sure that there's another physical storage device with a copy of the file on it.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then if you
can people buy that?
So you have to be a system builder, meaning you can go to like Newegg and buy it there. There's ways to do that. But the easiest way is you go to like HP or somebody, and for, you know, way under a grand, you can buy a new computer that has this on it. It doesn't take anything high power. I'm putting it on an old box.
Right.
Because most of what it does is just move files around.
A TRS-80 or something?
Not quite. I got rid of my TRS-80 a while back. But the cool thing is you plug in some disk, you run out of storage, you can just go look and whatever happens to be a good deal at the time. It's like, hey, there's a great deal today on, you know, 500 gig external drives and just plug it in.
And away it goes.
You know, your old drives could be USB and your new drive could be eSATA. It doesn't matter. You just
storage
plug it in.
Storage.
It'll see it. It'll add it to the storage pool and then just automatically figure out which files should be on
That's
which
fancy.
Drive.
You said storage pool. That's kind of fancy talk. I like that.
So anyways, that's one of my weekend projects. I'm really looking forward to this because I've got just, you know, I've got all these computers with random, and I try to remember, oh, my photos are over here. I should copy them to this computer too, and now I'm not going to have to worry about that anymore.
So that's what other I talked about the voice over IP phones. I'm just trying to get all the, so I now have 1, 2, 3, 4. I have 4 computers in my office. I got the Mac, a laptop, a Windows PC, a Vistas PC, the gaming PC.
And none of your 360s are hooked up.
Well, we talked about that.
Why am I buzzing?
Because someone's calling you.
I'll call him right back.
So that's kind of the gadgets I have here. So we're trying to figure that out. I got a couple of things I'm trying to make work here, like my 360.
Yeah, and I need to go put my office together.
So you want to know the story about this?
Okay, yeah. Why is Stewie here?
So I have this how would you say, 3 feet tall, two and a half feet tall? It's a life-size baby Stewie.
Yeah.
From the Family Guy.
Is he a bobblehead?
He's a bobblehead. Check that
out.
Whoa. Isn't that wild? So what happened was I have a friend who works at Fox.
Okay.
Who plays Halo all the time. And he was messaging me. He says, hey, I got something for you. So I'm like, all right. So he sends it up. I move in. You know, I got back from our offsite. I come into my office and there's, you know, stuff's everywhere.
Right.
You have no idea. It took me about a day and a half to come across this box. I'm like, oh, what the hell? What's this? And the huge box.
Yeah. He's big.
He's big.
He's bigger than any of your computers.
Right. So I open it up and it's Stewie upside down. Because he was the way he was packed. So I pull him out, and I'm like, this is like the coolest thing ever. He's got a gun. Is that your phone buzzing again?
Yeah, that's my phone.
So he's got a gun. He's really all just, so I don't know what I'm going to do with him. He's a bobblehead.
He's cool.
So I want to thank Jack at Fox for sending that up here.
That's very nice.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. Anyway, so that's Stewie. Don't know what I'm going to do with him.
Cool.
He's going to make a good addition to the office.
Put him back there in the corner.
I have this weird corner in my office, which is like, it's like a...
wasted space.
It's like a little triangle. It's like the point of a ship.
Put like a file cabinet back there and put them on top of the file cabinet.
I can do something back there. Yeah. So that's what we have for gadgets. Do we have anything else to talk about, E? Because I actually got to get going.
Yeah, you've got your stupid meeting to go to, and I should probably find out why someone just called me in the voicemail. That's never
all right. Good. So thanks, E. So this is we're gonna wrap it up right now. Does that sound about right?
That sounds about right. Goodbye, everybody.
All right, cool. Well, I'm going to let everybody go. This is I want to thank my friends at Centricom.net, providing Major Nelson with a secure and assured hosting environment. I want to thank CashFly for their services. They're partly responsible for getting this file to you when you want it, where you want it. This is Larry Herb, Xbox Live's Major Nelson, saying thank you for downloading my show. Have fun, play fair, send feedback, and make sure you file a complaint against those people with bad gamer tags or modders. We'll take care of them. So we'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye, everybody.
After showtime, I got to get to this meeting. I can't stay.
So why are we doing an after show?
Because we have to do an after show.
We've not done after shows before.
Do you want to take my bomb?
Okay, I'll take another one.
Yeah, I found an extra one.
Cool.
From Bomberman Live, the guys from Hudson Soft sent me a bomb.
Okay, this way I'll have one bomb at home and in my office.
Those are kind of cool.
Yeah, they didn't actually send you. They're not terrorists.
They're
very nice people.
They're little Nerf bombs, yes, that look like the bomb in Bomberman Live. And I took it and I ran into someone's office, dropped it, and then went two offices away. And they didn't laugh.
Okay, that's good.
I ran in,
it's
put it
funny,
down, and ran two offices away. Like, what are you doing?
Oh, that's
come
funny.
On. That's a funny joke.
Who didn't get that?
I don't want to tell you.
Okay.
I don't want to tell you.
Should they have gotten it?
I don't want to tell you her name.
Oh, come on. Oh, man. That's depressing. I need to go play some Bomberman.
We're gonna play some. So are we gonna play Halo this weekend?
I'm definitely going to play some Halo.
You know what we got to do? We got to get good because we got to take on the Bungie guys in Hump Day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we got to put a team together.
Right, we got to put a team together. Think KP should be on the team?
KP should definitely be on
the team. I don't know. He's so high maintenance.
Well, he is high maintenance. That's what comes of consonants, but he's good. KP, Striker, a couple other people. We can smoke them again, and then
because we beat them once,
yeah,
at Halo 2,
and then sent them dead flowers,
and then sent
that was awesome.
Right, I forgot about that.
They're still bitter about that,
are they?
And they're still like making things up on the Hump Day Challenge. Like they played the HBO guys this mm-hmm. last weekend, and they managed to quote unquote win by counting the warm up game. And then
you don't count the warm-up game.
Yeah, they counted the warm-up game in their write-up. And then the last game that actually counted was the extra game that didn't count.
The bonus game?
Yeah, a little creative.
Yeah. A little creative accounting. So we'll take on the guys over at Bungie. When we got to practice, though, and maybe, you know, got to get a few more games under my belt.
And I'll make sure that the appropriate Bungie people are not there when we schedule it.
Right.
So I can do a little creative work on that.
That's a good point. So we'll do that.
Maybe turn their gamer tags off for a few
hours. We don't do that.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're going to have to get some other players
we
in the game.
Don't do that.
I don't know
do
what's
we?
Going on.
God. All right. Well, the sun is coming out. I got to go to my meeting. You have to go to your meeting. So should we do this again next week?
Mogwai.
Yeah, it's bright.
Wow.
It's bright.
Bright in here.
So should we do this again next week?
An after show?
The show.
We should probably do it. I mean, most people expect you to do a show every week.
All right, we're going to go. So here's my one tip. Stay out of the ladies' room.